Today, we are celebrating 2020, as you can see with the lovely balloons, the festive atmosphere. I'm not going to explain the smell you have maybe noticed and countered until the end. Sorry for those of you on the video, you can't smell. I think it's good that we can't smell through video. I've thought that often on Zoom calls. Just saying. But what I don't want you to hear is something silly, like, or even cynical, in the idea of saying we're celebrating 2020. I recognize it's been a challenging year at so many levels. But I'll say this, I don't think there's any shortage of people talking about how challenging it was. Do you? I mean, if you think there's a shortage, just turn your phone on, right? And say, well, what was challenging about this year? There's a lot that was very, very challenging about this year. And we need to own it. Recognize that this has happened. This has been hard. We've talked about it earlier, about just the grief of things we've lost, things we wish we had. It is so real and so necessary for us to feel it. But here's the thing. The reason we're talking about celebrating 2020 at the end of the year is because as followers of Jesus, we believe two things about God. One is that he's all-powerful. He can do anything he wants. He can control anything he wants. Okay? Everybody believe that to be true? God really is in charge of the world. But then we also believe he's completely good. He's all-powerful and he's completely good. This can be extremely challenging idea. It can either be a very discouraging notion or encouraging. Do I need to explain any of that? You guys following me? Like, if God's fully in charge and he's good, what? Right? This is one of the reasons people reject God. But whether this is an encouraging or discouraging statement all depends on whether we're paying attention. It all depends on whether we're paying attention to see what God is up to. I want to read you a scripture that kind of illustrates this. Lamentations is this short book in the Bible, which is a collection of poems. And these poems were written for Israel just when Jerusalem had been destroyed and the temple was flattened. The place where God was dwelling, the all-powerful God, had been destroyed. How is that possible? And God's people, who God had promised for hundreds of years, I'm going to rule the world through you, they're totally dominated. They're sent away from home. They have to live in Babylon. So this is a bad, bad time. And so these poems were written to be able to deal with the thing that just to devoice the lament, to give reality and permission to the pain. And so I'm going to read this poem, and we'll just watch kind of the way this thing works, this idea of paying attention. And the poet writes in the first person, but he's kind of doing it on behalf of the whole nation here. So you can kind of fit yourself in here. He says, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He's driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again, all day long. He's made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He's besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He's made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He's walled me in so I can't escape. He's weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He's barred my ways with blocks of stone. He's made my paths crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He's filled me with bitter herbs and given me gall to drink. He's broken my teeth with gravel. He's trampled me in the dust. I've been deprived of peace. I've forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Does that feel like 2020 to you? Does that kind of capture the ethos, capture the mood of the year? But that poem continues, okay? This is critical to see. Here's the next sentence. Yet, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So there's a really key phrase in here. This is the very first one here. Yet this I call to mind. It's what I mean by paying attention. He's calling to mind what he knows to be true about God and what he's seen to be true about God in his own story. And the result of it is this: therefore, I have hope. Hope is the expectation of good. Hope is the idea that something good, I don't know what it is, but I'm expecting something good. This I call to mind. I pay attention. And therefore, I have hope. I can celebrate 2020. So this morning, what we're going to do is the whole service is just this, is to pay attention. To pay attention to what it is that God may have done. Now, you'll notice on your tables, there's a handout. It says Believer's Church on it. I'm not going to go straight through it or anything like that, but that's for you to take home and peruse. But I will give you kind of a summary of it. What we've chosen to do is the best that we can is remember, at least in our community, what we're paying attention to, how God has been acting. I'm just going to highlight a few of these things. And trust me when I say, I know I am missing a bunch of stuff. So if we missed a story, don't be offended. It's because there's, believe it or not, there's been a lot of incredible stories that have happened this year. So I'm going to rehearse just a few, and then we're actually going to see a video of people that have actually videoed their testimonies from our congregation that we're going to watch here in a minute. So I'm going to blow through some highlights. You see in there that a few things that I noticed, God has done in this last year. We went from 12 small groups to 39. I can tell you that there are many pastors who drool over that kind of idea, that more than tripled, and we're serving 443 adults. If you look at all of our ministry groups, we have 653 people seeing each other face-to-face, whether it's in a Zoom call or in events, to help each other follow Jesus. That's a lot of people that are in relationship, pursuing Jesus Christ. We've done a virtual VBS this year. It was, if you're a part of it, it was super creative. It was kind of a drive-through VBS that also then allowed people to do VBS at home or in their neighborhood. We've had virtual/home/in-person Bible blast that Santa Claus has led for the whole year. And we just from kids just memorizing Bible verses, 581 Bible verses memorized during COVID. That's not a bad thing, is it? That's a pretty good thing. Yeah, right? Isn't that cool? Fusion pulled off a summer camp, a fall retreat, pop strips. Guys, we have 13 DNA groups. What that means, 13 small groups with 125 students that are weekly meeting together and hearing what their highs and lows and what Jesus is doing in their lives. That's so significant. The collective, this is a fascinating one. It's our young adults group. They have 6 home groups, 8 weddings, 3 pregnancies, and 1 new baby. They are a fruitful bunch. They're not quite the young adults they once were. They're marrying each other and doing all this stuff. And what's funny is we've had 24 meal trains, of which a part I'm sure the collective is a lot. If you want to know what a meal train is, it's when y'all make meals for somebody in need at their home. 24 different folks have had, I don't know, that's got to be what, at least 10 meals apiece. So 240 meals distributed just out of the goodness of people's hearts. Women's ministry did a virtual gardening thing. I don't even know how you do that. Nancy, were they virtual plants? I don't know, but that sounds really, really creative. They had a worship service in the parking lot, workshop on hearing God through the art, men's retreat. Ours were more down and dirty, but man, Jesus met us guys in this retreat, in the contemplative prayer gathering. We've been able to take more than 50 people through Sozo sessions. Think about that. Guys, what I have seen in Sozo is the level of inner healing God does, it changes generations. How significant is that? Could it be that 50 families have a different history out into the future because of what God's done? And during COVID, we've had 15 couples walk through marriage growth. You know what I just remembered here is I didn't even put anything with Plumline Ministries. Anthony and Michelle are part of Plumline. I think, you know, we're supposed to have like 10 people a month with you guys, and we have 39 that they are regularly counseling for us. Thank you for all that you're doing for us. Celebrate Recovery graduated 7 12-step groups. Now think about this, guys. Hurts, habits, hangups. People are genuinely walking through to get victory over things that could dog them and their children the rest of their lives. And 12-step groups, my guess is about 10 people apiece, 120 people deployed with health. Generational junk stopped. Think about how powerful that is, guys. Jesus just worked with 12. This is 120. We currently have 6 men's, women's 12-step groups going right now. Some of you guys don't know about this Go residency. Dane Lucas leads it. And these are just kind of hairs on fire, drooling for Jesus people that are regularly going to the apartment complexes right across the street and elsewhere, knocking on doors and sharing the gospel. They've shared the gospel over 100 times during COVID season. They've had 10 people give their lives to Jesus, 2 baptisms, and then 3 of the residents that were part of this regular thing have just gone out into full-time missional living. That's all happened in this last year. Family Promise, which some of you guys may have participated in, where we help families in transition out of homelessness. We've had 4 solid weeks where we've actually cared for those families coming out of homelessness over this COVID season. Care Portal, where's Donna Nix? I've heard her saying amen somewhere. There she is, has led with us this meeting needs where they go online. We can see what needs there are to meet throughout the city. We've had 44 needs for 82 kids and economic impact of over $40,000 of helping families in need. And these are just simple things. Wouldn't it be like, Donna, where like someone needs to be able to take their child home from DHS and they just need a car seat. And without a car seat, they can't take their child home. And so we've been able to help people do that. Or people that are sleeping on the floor who need a mattress. Just simple, powerful stuff. Our finances. Now you'll notice on that little sheet, we handed out what we usually do during a family meeting. We thought we'd at least give it out by the end of the year since we didn't have a family meeting, thanks to COVID. And so the way that'll show last year's finances, which what I mean by that is we go from August to July. That's kind of our fiscal year. So that's August 2019 to July 2020. If you look at that, we paid all of our bills and saved a little. Can anybody say that's really good to hear? Like, that's what kind of we're all going for, right? I mean, the reality is that I want $10 million. Truth be told, I'd just like to have enough to pay my bills, and if something goes bad, to pay for that too. We're able to give over $10,000 away to benevolence, which is people coming with immediate needs, where we can pay bills and that kind of thing. $105,000 supporting 28 different missionaries all over the planet. Guys, you're doing that. That's crazy talk, isn't it? And then since August 2020, the reason this is significant, this is post-COVID, is a friend of mine said, he's not super Jesus-y, but he knows about church finances. He's like, yeah, I think everyone was worried about if God's going to be happy with them when COVID started. So there was a lot of giving, and then it's kind of trailed off after that because you're like, I don't know, out of mind, out of sight, just you're not doing anything about it. We have had a slight decrease in giving, but it's only been 7%. That is phenomenal, guys. I can tell you other places are not experiencing that. What it says to me is you're fearless. You're fearless because I know the people who've gotten noticed that your job is done at the end of the year. I know this is happening. But we've been able to reduce costs. Believe it or not, it just doesn't cost as much to run the building. Why? Because we're not using it nearly as much. In fact, we're able to focus. That's why we're not using the annex anymore. The annex isn't the cheapest thing in the world. It was kind of nice to have, but truthfully told, we didn't really need it. So we went ahead and said, bye-bye, annex. I like this. I actually like cleaning closets. I don't do it very often, but I like the feeling of it. Why? Because you're getting stuff you don't need out of the way. And what's been amazing, guys, just in the last week, thousands of dollars have been coming in to give away to needy families. I'm not exaggerating. The trustees are here. They can tell you if I'm lying or exaggerating. Am I exaggerating? See, John Phillips, raise your hand. Mark, I can't see the other guys. People have just been giving money away to give money away. They give it to us. We don't know what the needs are. Just give it away. Guys, this is stuff to pay attention to in the middle of crazy times. Okay, there you go. Now we're going to do some video testimonies. What we asked people to do, just virally, is give us a 30-second to one-minute testimony of what God has done in your life over this year. And so it's about 16 minutes and 42 seconds. That sounds long in this day and age, but believe it or not, I think it'll go quick for you. So just settle in, enjoy hearing what Jesus has been doing all year long.
Hi, family. My name is Javier Rivera, and I want to share part of my transformation story. I was an alcoholic and a drug addict before I knew of the great love of Jesus. I had emotional problems, my family was falling apart, and I had serious financial issues. God brought me out of the darkness and into the light. He showed me a vision of hell and a graceful life with Him. I saw demons dragging themselves on the ground, calling my name out, and a hymn on the other side telling me to trust Him and go rest. I used to believe that I was living a happy life without realizing how much damage I was causing to my family. I got to the point of losing my wife, my kids, and my job. From that day on, my life changed thanks to His merciful love for me. I lost friends along the way, but God blessed me with a beautiful family and a wonderful community, Believers Church. I'm so grateful to be part of a such wonderful and occurring family. Thanks so much, guys. Thank you so much.
I want to testify about a miracle I got to witness through my coworker. For the last 10 years, she's been attempting to have a child and has been met with surgery after surgery, miscarriage after miscarriage, hardship after hardship in the process. And finally, the doctor said, this isn't possible for your body. This isn't going to happen for you. And so they sought to have an adoption, and even that fell through, but they had all the supplies for a baby boy, and out of nowhere, she gets pregnant. And every day for 9 months, we pray for her to keep this baby that it seems like an impossibility. And in August, she delivered her baby. So after 10 years, after so much hardship, after a failed adoption, she has all the supplies for her baby boy, and we are rejoicing. It is a miracle.
Here's my story. Four tumors. One on the right, three on the left. The one on the right, all good. The three on the left, not looking good. In less than 2 years, I'd gone in for four ultrasounds and had two biopsies because the left tumors, first of all, started less than three, but continued to increase in size and number and suspicion for cancer. So on the 14th of June, I went for my follow-up ultrasound, the fifth one. I expected the same pattern, an increase in size, number, or suspicion. And this time, guess what? They found nothing. I know. Your guess is as good as mine. There's just one answer. It was Jesus.
This is Dan King, and on April the 8th, I was in a construction accident, and a projectile that was about 800 pounds flew through the air and hit me on my left side, knocked me down. People thought it had killed me, but I got up and started walking around and talking. However, it was lights out for me, and I woke up in the hospital about 4 hours later. 18 hours later, I walked out of the hospital. There was no broken bones, no internal injuries, no brain damage, at least that it wasn't before there, and no brain bleed, and I was in very good health. They give you a clean bill of health. We just thank God for the protection this year over my life, sparing my life, and moving forward into 2021. God bless.
My testimony of God's faithfulness in 2020 centers a bit around the COVID pandemic. When this all was released in the United States, the word the Lord gave me was, in repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and trust is your strength. And as we have gone through a few different lockdowns ourselves, my wife getting COVID and post-COVID extending the symptoms for about 3 months, we've definitely had time to repent and to rest and to be quiet and to trust Him. And in the midst of that, my relationship with my wife has been closer and better than it ever has been. My relationship with the Lord has been awesome. I'm sensing His delight for one of the first times in my life. And I'm still able to do some ministry and see about 10 people respond to salvation in Jesus, a couple get baptized and making disciples in China, Nigeria, England, and even Canada, and of course the U.S. So thanking God for His faithfulness in us in this year and during a really difficult time for most of the world.
Hey BC, how God has been faithful this year, so many ways, but most recently He has used all of you at BC with Care Portal. A particular family who came and visited BC, they took on four more kids, giving them 10 children, and they had bed bugs, and so they had to get rid of everything in their house. And we've come alongside and given them furniture and a Thanksgiving meal and Bible and fellowship and paid their rent and beautiful things. So thank you. The God in you is making a difference, and I rejoice.
Hey BC fam, just wanted to share a quick story with you from Fusion. Just a few weeks ago, we had a chance to sit down in Fusion and just process all of the things that have happened this year. And so in our Fusion 68 community, we actually did a Mad Bad Sad Glad exercise. We put up four different columns on our marker board, and everyone had sticky notes, and we were able to write down all the memories that were coming to mind for us this year. Good, bad, sad, frustrating, all the things. And lots of good highlights for me this year. We had an amazing year in Fusion, but it was so cool to see with the students in a year where, man, there's probably a lot of things that we wouldn't classify as really good. They filled out the glad column completely. It was just packed with glad. And there were some other things, of course. It's healthy to feel the other things and the other emotions. But I was just amazed that in the year 2020, we were able to have so much glad in our lives. And so, just wanted to share that with you and hope that encourages you.
Probably the biggest thing that God has done for me this year is showing me that I can't do life on my own. I tried for so long to do everything on my own, having control over my own life. And in those moments, God would show me that I was incapable of doing those things because I'm imperfect. But He also showed me in those moments that I can trust Him because He alone is the only perfect one to take care of me. And through those surrender moments of giving Him all my control, He's led me into this beautiful life where not only am I rooted in His love and His affection, but I'm also rooted into a physical and spiritual family. And I wouldn't trade my place in any of those for anything.
I wanted to talk quickly about God's faithfulness in this COVID season. right as COVID started, there was a big shift in my life, and God really placed me in a really good community that was really there for me a lot, and not just close to me, but I actually live with them, and it has been such a blessing to be close to people in this time where social distancing is really needed. So being in a place where I can just walk outside my door and there's people with me all the time has been such a blessing to me in this time of grief and struggle through all the changes that have been happening. And God's just been so faithful in this time.
In 2020, I got the opportunity to be reminded of how much I enjoy spending time with my husband. We worked together and we did a lot of projects together, and I just had a lot of fun with him. I was very grateful to be reminded of how much I enjoy him and who he is. My oldest son got married and I got a daughter-in-law. Woohoo!
I want to share a story of God's faithfulness to me this year. Not too long ago, my car stopped functioning as it should, so I took it to the mechanic to get checked out. And sure enough, it was going to cost about $1,000 to get fixed. My first instinct was to panic because my car has broken down many times over the course of my life, and I've never had the money to fix it. But this time I checked my bank account and I had more than enough money in the bank just to pay for it to be fixed. And so I just started to worship the Lord for his faithfulness to provide for me and my wife, that our cupboards are filled with food, my refrigerator is filled with food, and also just the gratitude I have in my heart for this BC community that we're a part of.
Like many of you, 2020 has been a roller coaster. I'd love to share a story of God's guidance, his timing, and just his kindness. In January of this year, our car was stolen. Don't worry, we got it back, which is a huge blessing. But we were already feeling unsafe in that neighborhood, and this was kind of the fire to get us going to speed up the process of looking for a new house. By February, we were connected with a real estate agent to prep our house, and we were all set to go. And then March, COVID hits, everything shut down. We're like, what do we do? What do we do? Within a week, our house sold. We got $23,000 more for it than we bought for it. And by May, we were moved into a house in a safer neighborhood with room for my family to grow into, and at almost nearly the same month-to-month expenses. It was just a roller coaster of a ride and a beautiful, beautiful gift from the Lord in this crazy season.
Hi, Believers family. Just a quick update on what the Lord did for us in 2020. We had a rental property out of state that our tenants destroyed with their animals. And after we finally got them out, it was several thousand dollars to get the property up and running, ready to get on the market. Once we did that, we still had some smell issues that we weren't sure where they were coming from. And it was just a really hard and stressful time. During that time, God continually provided for us. After 10 months on the market, we did finally sell it. And I see now, during that time, I kept saying, Lord, I don't understand the weight on this. I don't know what else to do. But I do see that it was God's perfect timing. A couple that absolutely loves the property purchased it. And after that, we found a place in the country that we were able to move to here. And I see God's hand and perfect timing in all of it. And just to encourage you, God is with you, and he is definitely with you in the waiting, and he is faithful. Thank you.
God worked for the good of our families this year at VBS. It was so amazing. We got to see our kids and our friends when they came through to pick up their supplies. We got to celebrate them and show them that they were special in God's eyes. But I think the biggest way God moved through VBS was that families got to learn about God together. God really showed us a way to prepare families to do discipleship together, for parents to disciple their kids through VBS this year, and I think that was really special.
My highlight from 2020 has definitely been all the time we've been able to spend together as a brand new family.
Yeah, and the pandemic forced a lot of us to work from home, and for me, that was a huge blessing because I got to work from home and welcome our new little one and spend a whole 2 months at home with her and our new little family. So that was a huge blessing for us.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. This past May, I had full knee replacement on my right knee. And then in August, I had a little bit of a health scare, which propelled me to some life and health changes. And in both occasions, the BC family stepped up to the plate and hit a home run. From words of encouragement to 24-hour prayer to just gifts and just the love that poured in, thank you. We are so blessed and so rich to live in such a community.
Hi, Believers family. Greetings from the Kittinger household. For us, this has been a year of experiencing the reality of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 9, that God is able to make all grace abound to us, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, we may abound in every good work. And we have experienced that in abundance this year and are ending 2020 more convinced than ever before that the best way to live is to listen, trust, and obey.
Miraculous is what they were saying. So many people were praying for me, some I didn't even know, when I was in critical condition from COVID. I got off the ventilator after 7 days in ICU. After 4 days on the ventilator, it was my turn to receive convalescent plasma. On the sixth day, my BC church family prayed together for me. That prayer and many others were heard by Jehovah Rapha, and Monday the tube came out. I've been home from the hospital almost 3 months recovering, by God's grace, from residual symptoms of brain fog, weakness, and fatigue. It's great to be alive.
I want to thank you, Believers family, for praying for me. I have been in the hospital 6 times since Easter, and God has spared my life each time. As He brought me through these near-death experiences, I felt His deep love and the fact that He is the King of my heart. I had an extensive procedure done in Oklahoma City, and at that time I asked Him to map my spiritual heart as well, to purify my heart. And He did. He highlighted to me the things in my heart that need to be changed by His love. This fall, I had a positive mammogram and consequently had a mastectomy. And again, the Lord favored me with a wonderful doctor who believed that the Holy Spirit guided her hands. And I want to share that all my pathology came back negative. So thank you, family. Thank you for so much prayer.
Hi, my name is Erica. God has been so good to me this year. My husband Paul was diagnosed with liver disease in March, and though for a time we thought a liver transplant might be an option, his health declined over the months. In October, he was hospitalized, he came home with hospice care, and he passed away. The miracle was God's nearness to me every single step of the way. He prepared me, He strengthened me, He wept with me, and oh, how He provided. The friends, the food, the gifts of service, the financial provision, no, seriously, He has provided beyond my wildest imagination. And His faithfulness so far makes me believe that He isn't finished yet. God has been so, so good to me.
Do you notice a theme that circumstances aren't good actually for all of us at some point? And the outcome sometimes isn't the one we want. But we were able to, these guys are able to notice, to pay attention to what God was doing. This very thing, this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. It's not because I was able to kind of work myself up into an emotional fervor or protect my heart through cynicism and resignation. I find both of those are the equal and opposite errors. One is just act like everything's happening, nothing's happening, everything's fine. And the other one is to say everything's terrible all the time, and I guess I don't want to go to hell, so I'll still stick with this Jesus thing. Equal and opposite places where God is inviting us to look life in the face, see what's happening, and then pay attention to what he's doing. He is at work, guys. I promise you. I promise you that he is. I promise you. That's why you hear some of these stories. How about Sherry Gurney saying she's going into surgery and asking the Lord, show me in my heart how you need to transform me. I'm usually going, God, I shouldn't have to do this. Where are you? Right? That's usually what I'm saying. And the Lord does this deep stuff in us. So what we're going to do for a few minutes here is we're going to do a paying attention exercise. And we're going to do it right here so we can take action on this very thing we're talking about. Now, some of you, it may take you more time to do this than just, 10 minutes here in a service. What I decided to do yesterday is this is what I thought, well, if I'm going to ask the other people to do it, I suppose I should do it myself, is just take a moment and think back through the year. And some of you, that may be helpful. Just flip through your calendar on your phone. Or what I did is I happened, this would be something you do later, but I happened to journal, not super consistent with it, but enough to kind of remember, oh, yeah, that was going on. I went back through my journal yesterday morning just to see, what was I thinking about then? And then notice, where was God at work? And what I'm challenging you to do is notice it, then write it down. You'll notice there's 3x5 cards we put on there. If it's helpful for you to write something out and just take a card and write some things down, that would be an artifact for you. Maybe if you don't want to do that, put it on your phone. We actually have a thing set up. If you go to bctulsa.com on stories, /stories, and you can see, you'll be able to find it on there. You can actually share your story if you want to, whether that's video or something written, even just audio, whatever, something like that. But we'd love to gather the stories. If you want to do that, if you're bold and just want to type it straight in there now, do it now. But here's what I want to challenge you to do is think through your year and try to notice where God was at work. If you're not sure, ask him. Ask him. Maybe there's some circumstances where you're like, there's no way God was at work in this. Ask him. Ask him and just wait on him for a second. What you may find is God just wants you to sit in your anger for a minute, and that's okay. Whatever emotions start coming up, don't run from them. Instead, say, Jesus, why am I angry? Or Jesus, why am I terrified? Or Jesus, why am I ashamed? He wants to get down in us so that we're living from actual true hope. It's not a religious thing we do just to feel better from week to week. Did you know that this exercise isn't even about feeling better? It's about embracing reality. Make sense? Our feelings are just flags for what we believe, right? So just trying to make ourselves feel better, it's very short term. But if you can start to say, wait, no, God actually did something in my life, that will form a foundation that eventually starts to adjust your emotional landscape. To say, no, I can trust God. This stinks. It's so important we interpret our histories correctly. Why? Because it allows us to develop a history with God. Because here's the thing. Hard stuff's going to happen again. And either we're terrified of it, or we go, wait, no. This I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope. My emotions are going crazy right now. It's okay. I'm going to notice them. I'm not going to let them own me. I'm going to recall to mind, has God acted in my life? So we're just going to take some time to do that here. And then we'll end with a little worship time. So have at it. Thank you. Okay, I know this is not nearly enough time, but it gets you moving. I want to suggest just take some time this afternoon. Just carve out a little bit, and you might be surprised, A, at what God's done, B, at how your inner world starts to transform and the kind of the atmosphere that's sitting in there. One of the things that's great about a journal, if you happen to do it, is I can see I'm afraid of the same thing over and over again. And that was like, oh yeah, the Lord delivered me that last time. Oh, he's delivered me. Oh, that's right. This is a really, really healthy experience for us to go through, because the next time you're scared, you don't have to be as scared. Make sense? Because you actually have actual history with God. Let's go ahead and stand together. We're going to just sing real briefly something, just kind of put a button on this to say thank you to Jesus.
Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. And I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth. And I will daily lift my head. And I will always sing. When your love came down, I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. And I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. And I will open up my heart and let healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth. And I will daily lift my hands. And I will always sing. When your love came down, I could sing of your love ever. I could sing of your love forever. And I could sing of your love. I could sing of your love, I could sing, Lord. And I could sing of your love forever, your love. I could sing of your love forever, yeah. I could sing of your love forever, yeah. I could sing of your love forever.
So we thought a good way to end today is with Lee Free's homemade cinnamon rolls. So please only take one per person, even for just your own health. Kids, ask your parents first, okay, before they're like running you crazy. So if you just form a line this way, that right there, if you could just kind of go from the right to the left and on the way out, Lee has baked rolls for everybody. God bless us on 2020. Love you guys.